Good morning. See everyone here this morning. As I looked out the window, I thought, my word, I'm glad I'm not camping. Didn't you? But we think of our friends who are out at the Aha Tinder, and I'm sure they're having a great time. And they're doing the same as we are. They're worshipping the Lord at the same time as we are. Now, what else is happening today? Any Dutch people here? Anything happening today? Yeah, the Dutch contingent will be rushing off immediately following the service. Is that right? Apart from the Spaniards. So we have the World Cup going on today. We've got all kinds of stuff happening. Anything else? Anything else happening today? Oh, we're here. We have a worship service. We worship the Lord, and that's why we're here. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and it's good to see each and every one of you here with us. Howard, my man.
Good morning. We're not at Aha Tinder because we just got back from vacation ourselves, so hope everyone's doing well out there, not getting too wet. Next Sunday, it says in the announcements that the family worship is at 10 o'clock, which I think is the normal time, so I think maybe this is a reminder we're back to the regular schedule. Lawn cutters are needed. Vacation Bible School, July the 19th to the 23rd. Talk to Andrea or Susan. And then on the Sunday, July the 25th, there'll be a pancake breakfast at 9:30, followed by the VBS service. Now, any announcements? Susan.
Good morning. I'm just up here about VBS. As you heard from Howard, it's the 19th to the 23rd, so 1 week from now. We do need help with snacks. I don't have the time, honestly, to bake everything for everybody for those 5 days, so I really need some help with some more unique Egyptian snacks. And what I mean by that is we're looking for muffins with dates and cookies with figs and things made with honey and flatbreads and whatever kind of a little bit unique kind of styles that you could come up with as we're talking about Egypt for the week. But we will take anything. So if you're comfortable with just chocolate chip cookies, that will go over wonderfully with our kids. So, oh yeah, no nuts, please. We don't know who will come with some sensitivities, so please, no nuts. But anything else is a go. And if you could have it to the church, even just on a daily basis if you're coming in, or you can pop it in the freezer downstairs and we can pull it out of there, that would be great. We are hoping for 50 children. We do know that the VBS out at Water Valley is the same week, so we may not have as many as we were hoping for, but we're aiming for 50, which means that we're going to need enough to feed 50 hungry little kids. So if you could help me out, I would greatly appreciate it. And as well, the pancake breakfast is the Sunday, the 25th, and I will need some help with that morning, too. So if anybody's willing to come at 8:30 and help me cook pancakes and sausages and get the coffee ready, I'd appreciate that, too. So thank you very much.
Any other announcements? Okay, I'll turn it back to Ian.
The other thing I wanted to mention was appreciation to Pat for leading our music this morning. We appreciate it, Pat. Thank you very much. We're looking forward to hearing it. Nice piano you got there. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. St. Paul writes, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. I'd like to welcome Pat to lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you, Pat.
The first approach chorus we're going to sing is Glorify Thy Name. So if you would stand, please, that'd be great.
Father, we love you, we worship.
Awesome. The next one we're going to sing is 236, Make Me a Servant. And we'll sing this through twice. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant. Spirit of the Living God, 277. We'll sing this through twice.
Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Father, that you have given to us, each of us here today, this great privilege, this great joy of being able to come together in your house on this, your day. And we know it's good to be here, Lord, because as soon as we walk through the doors, we are greeted by friends, by our church family, by loving smiles and hugs. And we know, gracious Father, right from the start that it is good to be here. Because we know, gracious Lord, that this is your loving spirit surrounding us and just filling us with your wonderful love. And we thank you, Father, and we thank you that we feel your love. And we come this day, gracious Father, because our hearts are overflowing with thanksgiving because you are so good to us. You fill our lives with joy, with blessings, all of which we know we do not deserve, Lord, but nevertheless, you bless us all the same. And so we come, gracious Lord, to worship you. We come to lift high the name of Jesus. We seek to bring honor and glory to your wonderful name. And we pray, gracious Father, that in this time of worship, that you will accept the praise we bring. For we come and we bring our praise in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Our elder on duty this morning, who is Howard, I've got to tell you a little something here. Howard and Joe have just come back from their holiday, and they've been up north, way up north. They've been that far up north to the part where it stays light for 24 hours. Now, I don't know how this might have affected Howard. So stand by for anything. Thank you, Howard.
I've been awake for 24 hours a day. But we're now going to hear our Old Testament reading, which is Amos chapter 7, verses 7 to 17. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. "Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy any more at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.' Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel, and stop preaching against the house of Isaac.' Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country, and Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land." Our responsive reading is from Psalm 139, 1 to 4 and 13 to 14, if you join me on the parts marked with the C. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
Glory be to the Father, to the Son.
Those two readings from the Old Testament both give us clear indications that God has power over all things. In the Old Testament, we had a king who thought that he could order God's prophets around and have them prophesy what he wanted them to prophesy. And we saw what happened to that particular king, or what was prophesied would happen, and it did happen. And then we've got Psalm 139, the X-ray psalm, which tells us how completely God knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts even before they're in our heads. And this is God controls. God controls the whole world. And those two Old Testament readings remind us of those things. And now I'm delighted to have Pat to lead us in our special music. Thank you, Pat.
For special music, usually it just comes to me and I usually know what I want to sing before anybody says, "Do you want to sing?" And somehow it fits with the service and everything. But this week I really struggled with what to do for special music until yesterday. And yesterday we were hiking up Stewart Canyon up by Lake Minnewanka, and it was actually beautiful. No rain, nothing, and we hiked all the way up the canyon. Usually a lot of people just stop at the bridge, but we went up. And then I thought, perfect song. I started singing it on the way down, and Brian goes, "That's a song." I go, "Yeah, I know." So, and it's called, I've sung it before here, and it's called Lead. But what caught my attention there was, "You lead me beside still waters of grace," because it was amazing. We went to the very end of the canyon, and just the water rushing, and it was amazing. But yet then when you got down to the bridge to Lake Minnewanka, it seemed like it was calm. So, lead. "Come and take my hand and lead. Come and pour the oil over me and humbly I will bow my knee. Oh, let your love flow down, and when I fail you comfort me. Wipe the tears from my face. You lead me beside still waters of grace. Restore my soul and lead. Come and steal my pride. Promise me you'll stay. Then goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. When I fail, you comfort me. Wipe the tears from my face. You lead me beside still waters of grace. Restore my soul. Restore my soul. Restore my soul and lead, oh lead. When I fail, you comfort me. Wipe the tears from my face. Then you lead me beside still waters of grace. Restore my soul. Restore my soul. Restore my soul. And
thank you, Pat. Beautiful. And you know, I kind of like hearing, don't you like hearing little stories about how God puts something into someone's mind? You know, like it did with Pat there. They were up hiking and the rushing waters and boom, suddenly it's there. And to me, those of you who get the upper room, that's why I like the upper room, because when you read that, different ordinary people from all over the world, and they tell their story of what God put into their mind, and this is what triggered this off, and everyday life. God in everyday life. Thank you, Pat. Good job. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. The children would like to come and join me, please. Because of the camp out this weekend, I was wondering whether we would have any children at church. And I thought, maybe I won't do a children's address. And then I thought again, from the comments I get from people, maybe I'd be safer dumping the sermon. The Bible is full of stories. We know that, don't we? There's all kinds of stories in the Bible about people. And there are lots of stories in the Bible about people who make excuses for the things that they do wrong. Who do we blame if something goes wrong in our lives? Do we blame ourselves? We blame somebody else, don't we? Right at the beginning of the Bible, we are told how God created people. And he created Adam and he created Eve. You remember that? Adam and Eve. They were the first people. Now then, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, who do you think Adam blamed? That's right, Eve. Adam blamed Eve. But Eve said, wasn't my fault. She blamed the snake. She blamed the serpent. It was the snake's fault. And ever since then, people have been making excuses for doing things wrong. They blame someone else. Now then, I'm going to give you a situation and I want you to try and make up some excuses for me. Let's pretend that I was late in getting to church, okay? And I want you to make excuses around an alarm clock. I was late for church this morning because my alarm clock wasn't working. That's a good one. I was late for church this morning because I forgot to set my alarm clock. Can you think of any more? Blaming your alarm clock. What happens if it's not an old-fashioned alarm clock like this? Most of us have alarm clocks which are electric. Right. I was late for church this morning because my alarm clock wasn't working because there was a power cut. That's a good one. That's a real good one, that one. But you see how we can make excuses for anything. You know, my alarm clock didn't go off because Iris didn't set it. We can always blame someone else, can't we? And that's what happens all the way through the Bible. We blame other people. And Jesus says the biggest excuses that we make are for not loving people. There's some people who are different to we are, and because of that, we find it hard to love them. And that's what the Bible story is about today that we'll be reading later on. There are people who couldn't get on together, and they hated each other. They couldn't love each other because they were different. But Jesus' story says, we haven't got to be like that. We've got to be like Jesus. Jesus loved everyone. There wasn't anybody that Jesus didn't like. Even the people who nailed him to a cross. He still loved everyone. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. So shall we just say a little prayer together? Father, we thank you for the wonderful love that you have for all of us. And we confess, Lord, that we know it's not always easy to love everyone. But we must try and do that just as Jesus did. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Where's all my singers today?
Me.
Susan, my singer. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Susan. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 20. We're talking about all different kinds of people, all people that on earth do dwell. We stand and sing to God's glory. us, gracious Father, to discover the special and specific things that we can do to show our love to one another. And even more importantly, Lord, how can we love those whom we do not regard as our neighbours? Lord Jesus, throughout your heavenly life, you demonstrated for us how to love one another. But we must confess that the easiest people to love are those who love us, and the hardest people to love are those who irritate us and annoy us or even dislike us. It's a hard lesson, Lord, but we ask you to show us the way, that your love may abide in us in such a way that we may abide in you, and that we may reach out like our Savior, like you did, Lord, and love everyone. We thank you, Father, for your love for us and for the way that you fill this place with loving people who share and spread your love. And so we ask you, Lord, to bless our church family, to bless our homes, bless our friends who are worshipping you at this time at the Yaha Tender Campout. Bless those, Lord, who are elsewhere at this time. And we pray, Lord, that they may know that we love them and we care for them. And we pray for each of them at this time. In our hearts, Lord, we have those who suffer in so many different ways at this time. And all of us, Father, know of people, wonderful people, who sometimes find life tough, who struggle with ill health or old age or life problems. But we are thankful, gracious Father, that we can bring all of these people before your throne of grace, to you, Holy Father, who love them so much more than we ever could. And we ask you, Lord, to reach out to them, to touch their lives, to touch them with your holy healing hand. We pray for them, Father, in silence. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon our national church, who have been meeting this past week at their conference, their national conference. Lord, we ask you to bless the representatives who have been in attendance there as they return to their home churches, just like our church. And may your will be done throughout our land. Almighty Father, as we look ahead to a new week before us, we pray that we and your whole church may be good neighbours to all whom we meet, that we may be channels of your blessings, and that we may be your worthy representatives here on earth, and that each of us, Lord, may be filled by your love and your grace. We ask you, Father, that you will hear our prayers, and we add to our own prayers, Lord, the prayer of our Lord Jesus, as he prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but thy will be done." In Jesus' name, amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
This was the closest color I could get for the Netherlands today.
That's almost orange.
It's almost orange.
There you go.
Our first reading today, the Gospel is Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. An expert in the law of Moses stood up and asked Jesus a question to see what he would say. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus answered, "What is written in the scriptures? How do you understand them?" The man replied, "The scriptures say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. They also say, love your neighbors as much as you love yourself. Jesus said, you have given the right answer. If you do this, you will have eternal life. But the man wanted to show that he knew what he was talking about, so he asked Jesus, who are my neighbors? Jesus replied, as the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, robbers attacked him and grabbed everything he had. He beat him up and ran off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, but when he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. Later, a temple helper came to the same place, but when he saw the man who had been beaten up, he also went by on the other side. A man from Samaria then came traveling along that road, and when he saw the man, he felt sorry for him and went over to him. He treated his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them, and then he put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next morning he gave the innkeeper 2 silver coins and said, please take care of the man. If you spend more than this on him, I will pay you when I return. Then Jesus asked, which one of these 3 people was a real neighbor to the man who was beaten up by robbers? The teacher answers, the one who showed pity. And Jesus said, go and do the same. And our epistle reading is chapter 1 of Colossians, verses 1 to 14. From Paul, chosen by God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from Timothy, who is also a follower, to God's people who live in Colossae and are faithful followers of Christ, I pray that God our Father will be kind to you and will bless you with peace. Each time we pray for you, we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard of your faith in Christ and of your love for all of God's people, because what you hope for is kept safe for you in heaven. You first heard about the hope when you believed the true message, which is the good news. The good news is spreading all over the world with great success. It has spread in that same way among you ever since the first day you learned the truth about God's wonderful kindness from our good friend Epaphras. He works together with us for Christ, and as a faithful worker for you, he is also the one who told us about the love that God's Spirit has given you. We have not stopped praying for you since the first day we heard about you. In fact, we always pray that God will show you everything he wants you to do, and that you may have all the wisdom and understanding that his Spirit gives. Then you will live a life that honors the Lord, and you will always please him by doing good deeds. You will come to know God even better. His glorious power will make you patient and strong enough to endure anything, and you will be truly happy. I pray that you will be grateful to God for letting you have a part in what he has promised his people in the kingdom of light. God rescued us from the dark power of Satan and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who forgives our sins and sets us free. That's the end of the reading.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks to Alma for those readings from the scriptures. Thank you very much, Alma. And now we stand again and we sing to the glory of God. The hymn 440, Oh for a Heart to Praise My God.
So freely shed for me.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. An elderly lady had car trouble on her way to the supermarket one morning. Her car stalled right at a stop sign. I don't know whether this has ever happened to you, but it's when a car decides to stall, it's always at the most awkward places. Right at the stop sign. She tried everything to get that car restarted, but no luck. And suddenly a man in a pickup truck came up behind her, and with obvious agitation, he started honking his horn impatiently. You know how you feel when that happens. She started to feel a bit panicky, and she pumped the gas and she turned the key, and still no luck, and still the honking went on constantly and loudly. You will love what the elderly lady did next. Very calmly she got out of her car, she walked back to the pickup truck. The honking had now stopped, and she motioned the man to roll down his window. And then very politely she said to him, "I'll make a deal with you. If you will start my car for me, I'll be happy to honk your horn for you." I guess that's what you call rising to the occasion. And that is precisely what Jesus does in our gospel reading today from the 10th chapter of Luke's gospel. A lawyer comes up to Jesus, and this lawyer was, you could say, he was honking his horn loudly. Lawyers were scribes, and their original purpose, as the name suggests, was to write things down. Scribe, they were scribblers originally. But by the time that Jesus was around, their purpose and their position had risen considerably. They were now interpreters of the Mosaic law, and they were afforded the greatest of respect. They had the title of rabbi. Their similarity with today's lawyers is that they ask the same kind of questions that today's lawyers ask, what you might call loaded questions. You answer the question one way and they get you, and if you answer the question another way, then they get you another way. You can't win. So the lawyer approaches Jesus, and his intention seems to be to trap Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" If Jesus had directly answered this question, an argument would have broken out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed in eternal life. The Sadducees did not believe in eternal life. Jesus would have been stuck in the middle of the two of them. The argument, you know, which way does he go? You know what Jesus was like? He didn't want to go either way with them. So Jesus basically acknowledged the man's high position as an expert and interpreter of the law, and he asked him, "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied, "How do you read it?" And when Jesus asked this lawyer the question, he knew how the lawyer would answer. The first piece of scripture that all Jewish children are taught is called the Shema Prayer. The Shema Prayer. And every good Jewish male repeats the Shema Prayer at least twice every day. He will start the day with the Shema Prayer, and he will end the day with the Shema Prayer. It is also frequently repeated in many of the temple ceremonies. So Jewish people are thoroughly familiar with the Shema Prayer. And incidentally, when those Jewish children are taught the Shema Prayer, it's taught to them by their mother. She teaches them it. But every male is expected to repeat the Shema Prayer at least twice a day. So as Jesus expected he would, the lawyer replied with the Shema prayer. It starts off by saying, the Lord our God is one. That there's only one God. And then it carries on, just as he quoted. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered well, Jesus told him. And that lawyer was probably disappointed that Jesus had got out of his trap so easily. So he comes back with another question. The Bible tells us he wanted to justify himself. He wanted to try and regain his composure, his authoritative position. He wanted to regain the upper hand, if you like. So he asked, who then is my neighbour? Who is my neighbour? Or maybe he really wants to know, who is not my neighbour? Where do my responsibilities end? Two ladies were sitting in church. One turned to the other and she said, I've always wished that God would touch me, but I suppose that that's too much to ask. The other one replied, well, that sounds like a very reasonable enough desire to me. Have you prayed about it? Well, no, she said, of course not. Well, why not? There's certainly nothing wrong with a prayer like that. You should pray about it. So our friend said, well, all right, maybe I will sometime. No, not sometime. She said, now. What better place to pray than in the Lord's house? So, thus persuaded, the woman reluctantly folded her hands, bowed her head, and closed her eyes in prayer. After about 30 seconds, the other woman gently laid her hand on the folded hands of her friend. And her friend responded, as most of us would do. She jumped and she said, he did it. He touched me. And after a moment of thought, she said, but that hand felt an awful lot like your hand. And her friend said, well, it was my hand. It was my hand. And disappointment was written all over the face of her friend. And she said, and I thought God had touched me. And she said, God did touch you. How do you think God touches people? Do you think his hand comes down like out of fire or something? When God touches people, he takes the nearest willing hand and he uses that. Jesus told this lawyer the story of the Good Samaritan on the road to Jericho, an example of God touching people in need by using the nearest willing hand. It wasn't just the nearest hand, it was the nearest willing hand. The Jerusalem to Jericho road of Jesus' day was a notoriously thief-infested stretch of rocky mountain road. A long, lonely 17 miles crowded with caves and danger. And it carried the nickname at that time of the Bloody Pass. And we can see where the nickname came from. This road started at Jerusalem, which is 2,500 feet above sea level, and it went straight down to Jericho, some 800 feet below sea level. 3,300 feet decline in 17 miles. Today, Jericho is known as the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. And the deepest city in the world, not covered in water, 800 feet below sea level. So in Jesus' story, we have a traveller who we must presume to be a Jew, who is attacked by robbers who leave him, presumed dead. And three other travellers come by. The first two, a priest and a Levite, walk by and leave him lying there. These two people, the priest and the Levite, are both of the priestly class. All priests are Levites, descendants of Moses' brother Aaron. And Levitical law states that if a priest touches a dead body, he becomes unclean, and he is forbidden from serving in the temple for 7 days. So a priest or a Levite would do anything to avoid anything that would prevent him from serving in the temple, performing his temple duties. That is why he was born. That was what he lived to do. And he would not do anything, touch a dead person, especially if it prevented him from doing this job. This guy could have been dead. This guy could have stopped him from performing his sacred duties. Their obligations to the temple came before their obligations to a beaten man. So what message was Jesus trying to send out to these two people? People who believed in this type of message. On the other hand, the Jews regarded these Samaritan people as unclean. And the Jewish people would go to extraordinary lengths to avoid any contact with them. Samaritans were Jews of the old northern kingdom, but they had intermarried with Gentiles. And any Jew mixing with Samaritans became unclean. They wouldn't mix. They wouldn't mix at all. You remember the story when Jesus came down through Samaria? And his disciples were horrified that he was going through Samaria. They would normally take a big route across the Jordan, down the other side, across the Jordan again. But Jesus came straight down through Samaria. The traveller who comes along and helps this beaten Jewish man is a Samaritan. And can we see the clear message that Jesus is sending out here? That we love all people. They say that love between equals is a human thing. The love of friend for friend. The love for the less fortunate is a beautiful thing. The love for those who suffer, those who are poor, those who are sick, the failures of the world, if we can reach out to them and we can love them, it actually makes you feel good that you are loving someone and helping someone. But what about the love for the more fortunate? Because this is a rare thing. To love those who succeed where we fail. To rejoice without envy. The world is always bewildered by its saints. And then there is love of your enemy. Love for the one that does not love you. The one who mocks you. The one who threatens you. The one who inflicts pain upon you. This is God's love. And this is the love that conquers the world. When we hear again Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, we must not allow ourselves to be lulled into believing that Jesus is talking about being friendly to everyone. The point of the story has a much bigger bite to it. Jesus is asking the expert in the law to treat not just his friends, not just the people who live in the same town that he lives in, not just the folks who are stranded on the road, not just to treat all these people as his neighbours, but to treat the very people he despises or dislikes or makes fun of or even hates. To treat these people as his neighbours. And Jesus is saying, love your enemies. And he's saying, this is the word of the Lord. This is the Lord God himself in his son Jesus giving us this message. But to do this, if we do this, we are following the example of Jesus, who we worship as Lord and Saviour, and we can only do this if his love abides within us. within our hearts. And this he offers to each and every one of us. And for this we say, thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, first of all, we're going to sing from the Red Chorus book, number 261, which is all about what we're talking about here. It's called The Servant's Song. We stand and we sing to God's glory. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore. Amen.